Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, January 18th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're on page XXIX in the doctor's opinion. We're going to read the third full paragraph this morning, beginning with faced with this problem, ending with respond to the ordinary psychological approach. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Hillary B., who will be reading the text, Polly Q. will be reading page 164, and Sherry Z. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, January 17th, 2024, is 21,049 or 21049. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,051 or 21051. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. It's Mary Frances from Westchester, Pennsylvania, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, moderator. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me serve.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page XXIX in the doctor's opinion. We're reading the third full paragraph, beginning with, faced with this problem, ending with, respond to the ordinary psychological approach. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Hillary B. to please begin reading.
Hi, everybody. I'm Hillary B. in Southern California, compulsive overeater. Faced with this problem, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes feel his own inadequacy. Although he gives all that is in him, it often is not enough. One feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. Though the aggregate of recoveries resulting from psychiatric effort is considerable, we physicians must admit we have made little impression upon the problem as a whole. Many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. I think one of those many types who do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach are all compulsive overeaters, as well as alcoholics. And I can imagine that even as a sponsor, I can sometimes feel my own inadequacy, even passing on this program, this path, this recovery, these steps, because not everybody goes to any length. You know, I can't make somebody do this work or think the way I think or see it the way the Big Book presents it. And so here's what's key to me is something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. That's what I have found, is the only thing that works is my higher power. is when someone finds that power. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And step three, turn my will and my life over to that power. And then finish working the steps, because a psychic change is not something that I can create for myself or anybody else. I can't make it happen. I can't force it. I can't plan it. It's just a gift of working the steps, a divine gift from that divine force for good in the universe. It's as though the aggregate of recoveries, like resulting from psychiatric effort, is considerable. This is my opinion, and it's totally probably based in judgment, so a lot of people will disagree, but I think that the effort, the recoveries resulting from psychiatric effort, when it comes to our, to addicts and to our disease in particular, the recoveries is very, very small. And if existence at all, because we always hear people share, like me, that no matter what what help I got from therapy, I couldn't put down the food. And no matter what help I got from therapy, I couldn't let go of my will. And so I'm very grateful that I have this path, and I look forward to hearing what all you guys have to share on this paragraph. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Hillary B. And we're now going to open the meeting up for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible. We've got lots of people on the line every morning. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up promptly. We appreciate it. So I'm now going to get the first lineup. If you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Joan Marie M.
I got you, Joan Marie.
Thank you.
Alex K.
I got you, Alex K.
Roz G.
I got you, Roz.
Barbara A., California.
Okay, Barbara A. Anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup? Okay, let's start there. I've got Joan Marie M., Alex K., Roz G., Barbara A. Please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll start with Joan Marie, followed by Alex K.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I listened this morning to the earlier meeting, and phenomenal. My name is Joan Marie M., and I'm from Nevada and recovered there by the grace and mercy and love of God. You know, so much stands out in this sentence, this paragraph, that no human power, nothing on this earth, anything that I tried could never relieve the compulsion and the obsession. Only God could and would if he was sought. And in seeking this power greater than myself, I have to do it daily and through the day and at night with a daily review that keeps my side of the street clear, that I don't have anything between me and the God of my understanding, who's all-powerful, who is a creator, who created me in his goodness and likeness. I'm so grateful for this program that just brings me closer, more aware of the presence of a power greater than myself. I'm so thankful for this divine program that I feel was divinely inspired by a power greater than myself. I'm anxious to hear everybody's wonderful shares, and I remember that this is a spiritual program, that the spiritual experience happens when I do these steps. I work them, I live them. And so, again, I say grateful, grateful to all of you. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joan Marie M., I believe from Nevada. Next up, we've got Alex K., followed by Roz G.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, Hillary, for starting this out. Alex K. in California, recovered just for today, compulsive eater. This paragraph reminds me that I need the help of my higher power. No amount of my willpower can solve my problem. No human power can remove my compulsion. Only my higher power can do that. And miraculously, that has happened. My food obsession and compulsion has been removed for today. But more than that, my thinking has been transformed. I am experiencing that psychic change they talk about. Whereas in the past, a binge seemed like the best idea ever, today I don't think about that. I have no desire to do that, to have those foods that I binged on. They look like poison to me, and I recoil from them. It doesn't occur to me as an option to compulsively eat. And I remember early on I would hear people say, food isn't an option, and I thought, what are they talking about? Food is always an option. But I get it today that just doesn't come up when I'm having a challenging day or a difficult situation comes up. I don't think, well, I could compulsively eat or I could use my program. I just use my program. It happens automatically. And I rely on my higher power for support. And I see my thinking changing in other ways as well. Being less self-centered and wanting to help others, recognizing my defects and being willing to practice the opposite. Most important, nurturing a relationship with my higher power, which I never imagined I would have, didn't want, didn't think that was anything for me, and yet today the connection with my higher power is the most important thing in my life, and that makes everything better and much more peaceful. It's such a more peaceful way of life to not be obsessed with food 24 hours a day or constantly thinking about myself. Just thinking about, not all the time, of course, I'm not perfect at it, but having a conscious contact with my higher power a lot of the time and asking for direction from my higher power instead of just doing whatever I feel like doing, which always leads to disaster. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Next up, Roz G., followed by Barbara A.
Hi, Stephanie and everybody and on the line. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And to me, this paragraph just screams, I'm beyond human aid and humility of the medical field. I have never been told by a doctor or a therapist to seek spiritual aid. Never. And that's not their job, so I'm not blaming them. But Dr. Silkworth, you know, gosh, had the humility to say, you know what, your problem goes beyond my scope of practice. You're going to need, you know, what has happened to you is better than what you've been doing, so stick to it. And, you know, what has happened to me is also better than the therapists that I sought, the diets that I sought, the programs that I sought, even the nutritionists that I sought.
I have never been able to stick to a nutritionist food plan, you know, working with them. I just haven't. I have a food plan, and I'm grateful for the one that I have, and it was formed by a sponsor and myself. So that's how it works for me. But I have to pray and ask God to remove my compulsions, my character defects. I cannot do it. I'm completely powerless over it. And for me to be in the places where I don't want to eat crap is really a miracle. And no therapist removed that, no doctor, no pill, no human aid removed that. A spiritual experience and a psychic change removed that. A psychic change meaning my thinking. You know, my thinking is different. My thinking tells me, you know, today it does, what will happen if I reach for that food? I agree. I'm powerless to think through the drink or to think through. I'm powerless over that. But God has given me a brain to use. And in the morning, it's, you know, it tells me, use my brain. And I ask God to divorce my thinking from selfish, self-centered, and dishonest motives, and to guide my thinking through the day. And if I stay connected with God, I have great thinking. So I just want to say once again, I'm beyond human aid. I have to seek power. I have to have a relationship with power. And today, due to this program, these 12 steps, and working with others, I have it. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Next, we have Barbara A.
Good morning, fellow visioners. Good morning. Thank you for your service. Grateful to be on the meeting today. Grateful to have my food in its place. I related, and please forgive me, I don't even quite know what we're reading, but I did relate to people talking about seeking psychiatric assistance, going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And I truly can relate to this because I went there not wanting to do the work the psychiatrist asked me to do or the psychologist asked me to do. Sure, give me a pill. I'll take a pill if that'll change it. But I didn't want to do the work, which was to be really honest, to put down and to say to someone, this is what I'm doing on a daily basis. And it took me a long time and a lot of money to go through and realize that. I know people are listening on this meeting that maybe they haven't had time with psychologists about putting down the food, about weight. But the truth is that when I came into these rooms and I listened to people sharing the same thoughts, problems, issues, anger, resentment, fear, selfishness, really connected and was willing to do the work that was needed to get recovery, finally. By the grace of God, I don't see a psychologist today, but I tune into these meetings nearly every day to listen, to get that recovery, that strength that comes from working the steps, reading these paragraphs, dissecting and thinking about what it says, truly says, this is the true instruction here. I too am grateful to be a part of this fellowship, to constantly check my food. I just had to reevaluate my food and eliminate some foods. And after a year of abstinence saying, wow, I really have to get rid of that? That was my work with a sponsor and a dietitian. That was my work. I'm grateful for that. But never would have done that without the psychic change, without this program, without working the steps. Today I'm grateful. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Barbara, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Central Coast, California. I'm between San Francisco and Monterey.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Barbara A. from California. Appreciate it. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we are this morning. We're in the doctor's opinion, and we're on page XXIX. We're reading, we read the third full paragraph beginning with, faced with this problem, ending with, respond to the ordinary psychological approach. And we read and we're commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And if you'd like to share, we're going to get another lineup, but please, if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please give others the opportunity to share today. Please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Karen E., California.
Eileen W.
Got you, Karen E. Got you. I think, was that Eileen W.?
Kathleen W.
Karen G., California.
Okay, so I've got Kathleen W.
Illinois.
And who was that right after?
Karen G., or I'm Karen G., California. Maybe Karen E.
Gotcha, Karen. Thank you so much. Was there another voice
Jessica
in there
C.
that I didn't catch? Thank you, Jessica. Gotcha.
There were two Karens. Sorry.
I've got two Karens. I've got an E and a G. So I got you both. I thought there was another voice in there, though. Okay. Well, anyone else want to get in on this lineup?
Hi, Jeannie N. from New Jersey.
I got you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go with that. I've got Karen E., Kathleen W., Karen G., Jessica C., and Jeannie. And we'll start with Karen E., followed by Kathleen W. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Karen E., recovered in California. Just for today. You can hear me, right?
We can hear you just fine.
Okay. I really honestly don't have a whole lot to add. There's been great shares this morning. It's a really good paragraph that highlights our need for a higher power. You know, the only thing I think that comes to my mind that's different is that I can't do this. I can't even, like, reach out to my higher power alone. That I couldn't work the steps by myself. You know, I needed you guys. I need this meeting. I need a sponsor. I have blind spots, you know, and I think that those come along with so I just appreciate that everyone is here, that we have people who are willing to volunteer to make this meeting happen. And maybe one day I'll have enough time and I can help out too. So I think that's all I got. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Karen E. from California. Next up, Kathleen W., followed by Karen G.
Good morning. My name is Kathleen W. I'm from Illinois, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I'm just claiming my seat today. I haven't come to a meeting for a little while. I really miss it. Had a lot going on, sickness in the family, and then I got COVID and just on and on. So glad to be back, glad to be hearing the voices, glad to be hearing the message. One feels that something more than the human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. That is the sentence that really resonates with me today, because it is true. I had a psychic change. I could not overcome my will to eat or not to eat. I could not overcome it. And I am one that had to have a psychic change. And by God's grace, I had that. I had a new experience when I started listening to A Vision for You, and finally spoke up one day and said, I'm in a muddle and don't know what to do about it. And someone called me and sponsored me, and my life changed. I was willing to do the things I had not been willing to do up till then, and I was in OA for quite a while. And it was an answer to prayer. I said that that prayer, set aside prayer for several months, and finally I came to that point where I was willing to step forward and identify myself and say I was having a problem and got the help I needed, and nothing has been the same since. All aspects of my life has changed, my relationships, all for the better. And so I'm so grateful today. My relationship with food has changed. I don't eat the way I used to eat. I'm not obsessing about the food 24/7, whether to eat it or whether not to eat it. God has done a wonderful thing in my life, and I did not do this alone. I had to have help and continue to have help. And so I'm just so grateful for, you know, this fellowship that God has provided in OA. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Next up, we've got Karen G., followed by Jessica C.
Hi, I'm Karen G. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive eater in California as well. Thanks, everyone, for your service and your shares. And it's just without doubt that without a higher power in my life, I cannot recover one day at a time from this disease. It's cunning, it's powerful, it's baffling. No matter how many times I think that I've got it, I don't got it. And I've done a lot of experimenting, and I'm a quick forgetter, not a slow learner per se. But, you know, what I will say, and also that the group, sometimes the group needs to be my higher power. When I'm not experiencing the kind of conscious contact with my, you know, my higher power with a capital HP that I'm seeking to cultivate that relationship with. I also do want to say, maybe a bit of crosstalk, but not so much, I hope, is just that one of the things that my higher power has also done is he's given me willingness to seek the outside help that I need. You know, because one of the things about my disease is it's been one of shame. You know, I binged, I purged, I did a lot of behaviors in secret and private just so long as I could try to look okay to you. And so my higher power gave me willingness to seek out therapy, which also does help me deal with some of the early buttons that got installed, you know, due to trauma and such. And my higher power has also, brought me to seek out medical support, you know, around foods that I can and maybe can't eat. Is my blood work okay? And how might that guide my food choices? So, you know, I always say, like, it takes a village, you know, to cure my disease. And I'm just grateful today that my higher power leads me to seek out, without shame, you know, recognizing I have a dis-ease and I need help, and it's okay to get that help. I'm just grateful for all the sources of help that I am able to get. I know that's not the experience for everybody, but for this compulsive eater, it can. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, Karen G. from California. Next up, Jessica C., followed by Jeannie.
Hi. Thanks, Stephanie. This is Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Yeah, I'm so glad I dialed in, and just the meeting has been great. Such really powerful shares. I was, you know, thinking as we were reading this that for me too, the psychiatric efforts did not have any impact on my compulsive eating. But what they did do was produce hopelessness in me. I think, like as has been shared already, it's unusual for a doctor to admit that they don't have an answer. So when I would go to doctors and psychologists and counselors, they would keep offering me solutions that were not a spiritual solution. So I would keep trying these solutions and they never worked. And so I just kept getting more hopeless. And so that utter hopelessness is, I know for me, has been like an essential ingredient in seeking out a spiritual solution and being really willing to surrender to working the steps. And, you know, I didn't want it to be a spiritual solution because, like, the solutions from a doctor or a counselor, they were always more linear and made sense to me logically that these other solutions would work, but they never worked. They actually never worked, even though it logically it would work. But this spiritual solution did not make sense to me, and it still doesn't. But yet it is the only thing that has removed my desire to eat compulsively. And that has been removed. It's not that I'm managing it well, or I found a good strategy to keep it at bay. It's just literally gone. When I first met my husband, we moved in together, I discovered this fruitcake that his mother makes for him just once a year. And when I discovered it in the house, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And, you know, something like that, it's not something that I could eat in secret and easily replace because, you know, his mother makes it. She only makes it at Christmas time. So I knew if I ate it, he would discover that I ate it and he wouldn't be able to have it himself, something that he really enjoyed. But I ate it anyways, knowing the shame and the, you know, disappointment and sadness that it would create. And now that food is in my house again, and I don't think about it at all. I work from home. I'm here all day long by myself, and I don't think about going to eat that food anymore. So that is a miracle. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Next up, we've got Jeannie.
Morning, everyone. This is Jeannie, and thank you, everybody, for your service. For me, I go to God for everything. And somebody said to me, I naturally need to concentrate on the steps so much. I need to put God first. Well, for me, God teaches us through the steps. Every single step is spiritual. I wanted to share that. And I also wanted to share that I've been confronted with a medical problem, a health problem, and after so many testings, I have to eat 6 meals a day, and there's a lot of things I can't eat, not only for not being abstinent, but because of other health problems I have. So if there's anybody on the line, I would appreciate outreach calls. I'm Eastern Time. Oh, you can get that on the... Okay. I really would appreciate it. Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody. Ditto to all the sharing. And God bless everybody. Bye-bye now.
Jeannie, before you mute, what's your last initial so people can find you?
Sure, N for Nancy, and it's
okay,
New Jersey.
Good. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And, you know, I'm starting to white knuckle a little bit now with this new challenge with the food, so I really would appreciate the calls. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jeannie N. All right, we're going to get another lineup. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Kelly L. Washington.
Gotcha, Kelly L.
Robin P.
in Los Angeles. Was that Robin P?
B as in boy.
Robin B, okay. And we probably can get one, maybe two more in.
Maria C. in Los Angeles.
I believe that was Maria C.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, we'll go ahead and see if that takes us to the end. I've got Kelly L., Robin B., Maria C. Kelly L., you're up first.
Good morning, Steph, and good morning, everybody. It's Kelly L. from Washington State. Excited to have another beautiful day. Started off with Vision and all of you amazing folks. What an awesome paragraph, what an awesome shares today. You know, I was thinking about, you know, like others have mentioned, this doctor, you know, who's willing to concede and willing to admit out loud that, you know, all other methods, you know, aren't working for some of us and that a true psychic change would be necessary. And, you know, I was thinking about how similar that was for me coming into program. You know, we almost lost my dad to alcohol, you know, in COVID. He had an entire internal body shut down, I think about 90-95% of his liver loss. And when he came out of, you know, the 2 weeks in the hospital and DTs and all the things, life's on the line, there were no rehab centers that were open and taking new people because of COVID. So he decided to call the local AA number. And I remember my siblings and I just devastated. Like, he's not the kind of alcoholic that can be cured by just AA. He's going to need so much more, and hospitalization and doctors and clinics and all these things. And we were devastated. And I'm sure you know how the story goes, because we've seen lots of examples of this in many different, you know, diseases. When I saw him 6 months later, it was as though it was a completely different person. And, you know, the person he was always intended to be. And, you know, that psychic change that I watched in him, there's no other words, you know, even if you don't understand how it worked, you can't deny that you experienced it and you saw it. So when he presented OA to me, I was, you know, 300 pounds. I was having back surgery, left and right, you know, all these like medical issues. Of course, I was going to say yes, because I watched this miracle unfold in him. And, you know, that's how I came into OA. And fortunately, I found Vision and I found other strong meetings of recovery where I've got to see within this disease other people who have experienced that miracle. And I don't know how it works. I don't know why that psychic change works. I don't even know how it really happens. And sometimes I can't even see it in myself. It's like when you get that dot in your eye and you try to look at it, and it moves to the left and it moves to the right. I sort of feel that way about my own psychic change. But I know for a fact that, you know, I've shed the weight, a lot of the weight. I can fly by myself. I can go to doctor's appointments. I can show up for people. I can come to the center of the herd, not on the dance floor yet, as I discovered at the birthday party. Maybe a little bit more psychic change needs to happen. But, you know, I don't know how it works, like many of us have said, but how grateful am I for myself, for the people I love, and for all of you. And thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly L. from Washington, and we will be on that dance floor next year. Next up, Robin B., followed by Maria C.
Hi, this is Robin B., an Ohio compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. And I just, when I read this paragraph, it reminds me of when I went into the doctor's and I had lost, you know, 90 pounds, and she's looking at me and tells me that this never happened. And thinking about it, and after reading this paragraph, the medical field, they don't understand unless they've experienced it for themselves. And they know it works, but they can't explain it. The medical science doesn't explain it for them. And then the second thought that comes to mind when I read this paragraph is that's why it's my responsibility to carry this message to those that are still suffering. Because the medical field, they can't do it. They can't do it. It has to be done by someone that has experienced it for themselves. And I am so grateful that I have had this psychic change, and that the higher power is still working, you know, in me every day. as long as I'm willing to follow and do what my higher power asks me and needs me to do. It's not the medical doctor's responsibility. It's my responsibility to carry this message and to help those that are still suffering. And I just thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much. Robin B. from Ohio. Next up, we got Maria C. from California. You're up.
Hey, everybody. This is Maria C. in California. Can I be heard all right? I'm outside.
You can be heard.
Great. Okay. Before the paragraph, I want to just dive into gratitude for everyone on the line right now. I commute to work and I'm on this meeting, and I used to think, gosh, I can't do that. I'm on the bus. But, you know, here I am a few months later. I was on the bus saying Maria C. in Los Angeles because, you know, the lack of proportion is slowly, I'm getting more proportional with how important my recovery is. So thank you, everyone. My experience is, yes, this is a spiritual illness. Addiction is a spiritual illness. So, of course, someone who's not a spiritual guru, healer, whatever you want to call it, can help me. But I will say, as someone who needs psychiatric help outside of the room, getting recovered has made all of that way more effective. All of my doctors and any kind of physical, mental, whatever, are thrilled for me. They couldn't fix it. Not at all, but it's, getting the spiritual in order is helping all of the other aspects of my health to thrive. It has been the priority. It must continue to be the priority, and my doctors don't understand it, but they're happy for me, and then it's another way to carry the message. So thank you guys for being some of my daily medicine for the spiritual solution, for the spiritual addiction. Thank you. That's it.
Well, thank you so much, Maria C. from California. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to take that 2 minutes?
Barb from California.
Was that Barb? And
Shirley R. from California.
I'm sorry. Shirley R.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shirley, you got you got about a minute and a half.
I just want to say, if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be coming back every time I struggle with putting the food down, and with the help of meetings like this. So thank you, everyone, for giving me hope today. Pass.
Well, thank you very much, Shirley R. from California. We have like a minute. Anyone want a minute? Last minute burning desires for 1 minute. Okay, Anne, go for it.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm Anne, a compulsive overeater here in New York. Thank you so much, Vision. Thank you, everyone, for being on the line. I am just so grateful that at 65, God, I'll be 69 in a few months, that I have this psychic change, that I can be present to my daughter, who's adopted late in life, 21, that her boyfriend, I can be loving and passionate. He comes from an alcoholic family. That was not Anne. And I'm just so grateful, and I just wanted to thank everyone. And with that, I pass. Have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you so much, Anne A. from New York. Well, that's about all the time we've got this morning. We're going to now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Polly Q, can you please read a vision for you?
Hi. Thank you, moderator. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.